The lesson is from the book of Matthew 26, 26 through 29. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is the word of the Lord.
So we're focusing these 30 days really leading up to Easter, but it's really also about the last 30 hours of Jesus' life, and in particular today, the Passover meal. And that's really the setting of today's reading, the Passover meal. Jesus has gathered with his most intimate followers, his friends, if you will. And so they're going to celebrate the Passover meal, which remembers, the Jewish people remember how God passed over, of course, the angel of death passed over the Jewish children, resulting in finally the people of Israel being set free from slavery and death in Egypt. They're celebrating the Passover in that upper room, of course. It was thick, that upper room, that night, thick with tension and betrayal, because that's what else is going on in this gathering. If you would, I'd like you to put up the picture of Leonardo da Vinci. And Jesus, of course, this is the Last Supper. This is the Last Supper that Jesus will celebrate with his friends. And he just announced to them that one of them would betray him. And so they're chatting anxiously amongst themselves. "Is it I, Lord? Lord? Is it I, Lord?" That question really is as pertinent today as it was then. "Is it I, Lord?" Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You know, sometimes, and I wonder in what ways perhaps that we're betraying Jesus. Is it a resentment, a bitter resentment that we can't let go of? Is it a grudge? "I'll never talk to so-and-so again. I'm done with that person." Is it a greed? Perhaps it's lust. A fear, frozen in fear. There seems to always be something that creeps into our hearts. We put it before God. "Is it I, Lord? Lord, is it I?" And not only was betrayal in the air, but also denial. As I mentioned, Jesus gathered with his followers, his friends. These are friends now. And Peter, one of the closest, denial. He had just said, "Lord," you know, Jesus predicted, he said he would go to the cross, he'd suffer and die. And Peter really wanted nothing to do with that. "That's not so with you, Lord." And then he also said in the same vein, "Lord, I will even go to prison and death with you." But of course, in the same chapter of Matthew 26, at the very end of that chapter, of course, it's Jesus has been arrested and they're starting to thump him, mock him. And Peter's gathered around the fire with others. They're kind of outside of the room where Jesus is being mocked, queried. And that little servant girl, I know, you are one of them. And "No," Peter said. The third time, she said, "Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you," the Galilean accent. Then he, Peter, began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I don't even know the man." In the midst of betrayal and denial, celebrating this Passover meal that Jesus institutes, Holy Communion. Jesus now becomes the focus of the meal going forward. They don't quite understand what's going on at the very moment. They will down the road. But going forward now, Jesus is the focus of this meal. He now is the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. He will set the world free from sin and death. He, Jesus, he's the focus going forward. And so we read in verse 26, while they were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, said, take and eat. This is my body. Four verbs. Jesus, of course, is the subject of the verbs. In the midst of the betrayal, the denial, his impending arrest, his eventual crucifixion and death, Jesus takes initiative and confronts the foulness of human sin. Four verbs Jesus took. Jesus blessed. Jesus broke. Jesus gave. And when you hear that, of course, we hear the words from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. That he gives. And we read then in verse 27 and following, then he took a cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus pours out his body, breaks the bread, pours out his very body, breaks his shed blood. You know, the Hebrews had this understanding that the life of a person, the life force, was in the blood. He pours forth his blood, his very life. He gave his all. Friends, Holy Communion is really looking backward, if I could have this. Holy Communion looks backward to the death of Jesus, where Jesus pours forth, sheds his blood, gives his life, if I could have the picture. Jesus, the Son of God, was beaten, stripped, cursed, mocked, nailed to the cross for you, for me, for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus had received this and do so, remembering me. Remember how I poured forth my life for you because I love you. Each time when we come forward, we do so remembering God's great love for us. Hear this. Jesus poured out his very life so that into our lives he could pour forth his life. The Holy Communion really is about presence. The divine can inhabit the material. Jesus, the Son of God, incarnate Son of God, took on flesh. The real presence of God in the person of Christ, somehow mysteriously, in the midst of a fallen world, somehow mysteriously present in, with, and under the bread and wine. At least in my understanding, the bread, the wine are more than symbols. Somehow we're receiving the very presence of God in, with, and under that bread and wine. Gives me great comfort to receive Christ in a very real and material way, beyond my understanding, received by faith, the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant, the focus, of course, is on the forgiveness of sins. The covenant that God has established with humankind. The new covenant is about the forgiveness of sins, the gift of God in Jesus. The new covenant in a contract really is about when we, the new covenant, the new contract, the new arrangement, if you will, what have you. Jesus has promised, by virtue of his broken body, his shed blood, the new covenant, where God has promised to cover our every sin. This really does harken back to Jeremiah 31:31-34, where God establishes, he's talking about the new covenant down the road, the new covenant that we're a part of, the New Testament covenant. And the good news about this covenant, not like the old, this one's not going to be dependent upon us. This is God, this covenant is one that God will establish and God will fulfill. Really. This meal is not so much about us. Oh, yes, we examine ourselves. But this meal is really about a gift of God. It's pure grace. It's God, again, offering himself to us in the person of his Son. The new covenant. The one that we can be assured that God will fulfill. One of the blessings I have to consecrate the elements, and some of you, of course, to distribute the body and blood of Jesus. And I stand up here. There are occasions where there will be tears in my eyes. And I know as we all come forward, we're familiar with our brokenness, and even sometimes literally, you know, orthopedically as such. But we're also aware of our brokenness and our sin. The betrayals, the greeds, the lusts, the what have you. And we're coming forward, the broken. And what touches my heart is people coming forward because they know their brokenness and they just want to receive the gift of God and the forgiveness of God, the mending of God. And because it is the new covenant, it's not about us. It's something God does and God establishes and God brings to bear in our lives. So yes, we're the broken, but we're also the mended. And I can just see people just throwing their wheelchairs away, their crutches, and just leaping for joy. Can I hear amen that the broken and the mended as we come forward? Isn't that good news? Good news. It's a done deal. The new covenant. Fulfilled by God. We live in a world that seems to be coming apart at the seams, and sometimes our lives, and there's brokenness, and we experience death. The one thing we can be assured of is the presence of God, his love, his forgiveness. It's interesting that Jesus commands this, and that's really a sacrament, or the understanding of sacraments, three portions to it. It's commanded by God. That's why we do that. That's why we baptize. Go and baptize. There's also a tangible element to communicate a spiritual reality. And then there's the promise. The promise. Really, it's sacraments are about what God is doing, and he commands us because of the grace that's bestowed. That doesn't mean we can't take some time to examine our lives. So Holy Communion not only looks backward, remembers, but in Holy Communion, we look inward at ourselves. Not overly so, but we do pause. We do take a moment. And we do examine our lives. Here's what Paul writes in Corinthians. If I could have that passage up there. You know, Paul, when these words in Corinthians, they're making a mockery of the meal, and I'm not going to go into the details of it. He said, examine yourselves. And only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. If you're just making a mockery of it, then there's a certain amount of judgment. And so, wow, well, and again, this isn't so much about us. But the person who is ready to receive is the person who understands their need. Huh? That's it. The person who's ready to receive understands their great need. Billy Graham, of course, passed away recently. He's probably the towering Christian figure of the 20th century, huh? Who doesn't admire Billy Graham, you know? But in what I was watching, I can hear Billy Graham say, and as he said, you know, I need God's forgiveness. He understood the holiness of God, who God is, and he saw himself in light of this. I need God's forgiveness. I receive communion two times on Sunday and sometimes during the week. And, you know, my thinking is, as I'm about to receive, is I need God's forgiveness. And the good news then, he gives himself to me, to us, to all. And we know that we're forgiven. But there is the sense, I need God's forgiveness. And so we look backward, we look inward, but the good news too is we look forward. And in our reading for today in verse 29, Jesus says, I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Isn't it amazing? All throughout you. It's for you. Drink it anew with you. God is for us. And he's saying in the midst of the din, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the loss, there's a heavenly banquet awaiting you, a feast. And as we receive and come forward broken and sinful, and we receive in the mending of God, the presence of God mysteriously beyond our comprehension, that is the foretaste. Even putting a little lilt in our step, if you will, as we leave. The psalmist says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We are the victors. A victory banquet of which we can't even begin to comprehend. I will drink it anew with you. So picture that setting. Oh, what a mess, huh? From one perspective, we see the sovereign hand of God, the grace of God, as Jesus institutes communion in the midst of that Passover meal. Thick with betrayal. Thick with denial, arrest, death even. In Luke's account, however, Jesus says this words to his gathered intimates, his friend. I have eagerly desired. What? I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus was under no illusions. He knew the betrayal soon. He knew the denial, Peter. He knew their weakness, their foibles. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. Here we are gathered. We're under no illusions. We know our brokenness, betrayal, if you will, denial, fear. Jesus said, and Jesus says now, I have eagerly desired to celebrate this communion with you right here and now. And the gift that he gives is the gift of himself. He wants to give himself to you, to me, for you, for me. The gift of himself. A foretaste of the feast to come. Yeah. And when we experience the grace of God, because again, we're under no illusions, but when I experience the grace of God, God somehow changing my heart, somehow God using me in spite of myself, and I experience the presence of God and God's activity, his kingdom activity, there is a sense that, yeah, looking backward, yeah, looking inward, yeah, looking forward, but how about right now, looking outward then? Because Paul says, records Jesus, that each time we partake of this meal, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Man, we should be out there, big time, the broken, the mended because of the presence of God in our lives. Amen.